prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 6th July 2020. And tonight's program is going to be one of the most important ones you ever heard come through this ministry in over 27 years. We're going to share with you a few minutes with our brother Dana Coverstone from a church in Kentucky. They had two dreams, actually. We're going to share both of them. And why he sees coming in November. And folks, I'll share my brief testimony after I get through a few announcements that I have seen. I've never seen, I had a dream, but I've been saying this for several months. November is going to be hell in America. Now, you need to stay tuned. You may want to record this because your friends are going to want to hear this. Before we go to guests, so don't forget now, hopefully, prayerfully, for the next 2 weeks, I won't be with you. I'll be in BioCare Hospital in Mexico with Dr. Rodriguez, going through stem cell treatment. Looking forward to that. I really am. Looking forward to seeing Dr. Rodriguez in person, talking to him a while. We'll be doing an interview with him that we'll make available to anybody who wants it about what he's been doing with Marcia and I for the next couple of weeks. But don't worry about me. You won't miss me. Debbie Travis will be filling in for me a couple of nights and others, folks that you know. I'll be posting names on the website. You're not going to miss me that much at all, I promise, because I'll be back in a couple of weeks, but I guarantee that you're going to enjoy the guests I have coming up while I'm going. So just remember that. I'll be going 2 weeks. We'll still be in the office on Thursdays. Lisa will still be taking phone calls every day, and Crystal will be in the office on Thursdays, take your phone calls, fill your orders, whatever. So please don't think we're deserting you, because we're not. Everything will be the same. Sit down and be the host. That's all. Office hours, everything will still remain the same while I'm going. It's in good hands, you know that. Lisa, Judy, and Crystal, I don't worry about a thing. They'll take care of all these things. So just pray for us while we're going. That's all I ask. And remember that we're in a battle together, folks. We got to stick together for this. This battle's not going to get any easier, I can promise you that. Don't forget our new catalog is out. If you want a copy of our newest catalog, you call us at 800-777-4403. Or 304-846-4448. Leave your name and address with Lisa. We'll send you a catalog. Now, when you do place an order, you'll be getting one with an order anyway. So you'll be getting one if you place it in order at all. You'll get a copy of the catalog. But if you want a copy to look at, you let us know. We'll get it right out to you. And of course, we still offer all this will be in the catalog. All the Strauss heart drop products, everything they offer, we have the Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash. We have that, of course, REM sleep and Tranquil. All these things available, they'll be in the catalog. Backyard Medicine, a book I'm still offering and trying to get people to understand how important it is, because that book should be in everybody's library, folks. If Brother Dane is right, and if what I've been told in my spirit is right, you're going to wish you had some way to find some food. And I'm serious. We're going to discuss that in a little bit. I mean that with all my heart. If you haven't already ordered a Berkey water filter, so you have water to drink. If you don't have storable food, even some guns and ammo and some gold and silver coins. In the next few months, you may wish you'd done that. That's the best I can tell you. I'm not going to get in detail, not right now. That's the best I can tell you. Of course, Backyard Medicine book that you need to add to that. We're still offering the vaccine papers. Folks, the vaccine is getting closer. We're offering you the paperwork to let them know in a brief writing why you will not accept the vaccine. And paperwork they must sign before they give it to you, which they will not sign. We had that available. We have available on information about the truth behind the so-called Civil War. All this available, folks, for donation. Just have to write and let us know. I'm asking for both of them, we'll say $15, okay? $10 each, or both of them for $15 if you want them. A lot of paperwork, a lot of things, a lot of articles that you need to read to understand what's happening. Please don't walk into this in the future blindfolded. Please, please, please. Don't do that. Not when the truth's before you, being offered to you. Don't do it. We have the material here to try to help all we can. And of course, The Grand Design Exposed, a book written by John Daniel, that absolutely will open your eyes to see a lot that's happened in this country right now. Our guest tonight is Pastor Dana Coverstone. I'll let him tell you a little about himself in a minute, but he had a dream that on Tuesday evening I watched it myself. And it troubled my spirit terribly because I knew what I had been sensing in my spirit. At 3:30 Wednesday morning, I was woken up and I couldn't go back to sleep. I was under such a burden that I become physically ill, trembling. I sat on the front porch in the porch swing and talked to the Lord and cried. Mainly because we, the church, have failed him so miserably for so long. And the burden I still have, he gave me then, he lifted it. Thank God he lifted it because, folks, I say, I didn't want to get out of the house. So I thank God that he lifted that burden from me somewhat to the point that at least I can talk about now without crying and be able to share with the people the truth. And this past week's Bible studies and preaching services at our church group entitled The Antinomian Church and the Antichrist, or a better title maybe will be The Lawless Church and the Lawless One. You understand if you see that why we're in this mess. Now again, I guess tonight is Pastor David, Dana Coverstone. Dana, are you there?
I am, sir. Yes, I am.
And Todd, give him a little more volume if you don't mind. I can barely hear him. And it is an honor, sir, to have you, and I know you are covered up. I know you've been beat to death, so to speak. You've been beat to death. People wouldn't talk to you, and beat to death. People don't like what you said. I know all that. Believe me, I do. I do, I do, I do.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into the program tonight, and then what you want to share and what I want to share, would you mind telling people a little bit about Dana Coverstone? Who are you? Just what makes you so special? Go ahead.
Well, first of all, nothing makes me very special. I grew up in a small town in Indiana called Jasonville, Indiana. It was south of Terre Haute. My claim to fame was I got to see Larry Bird play every home game at Terre Haute, the home of the Civic Center. I had a younger brother who passed away several years ago. I had four older sisters. I've been an Assembly of God pastor for 29 years. I got saved when I was 15. I went off to Bible College, sent for Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, graduated from there, and came back to Jasonville, became a youth pastor in my home church, Jasonville Assembly of God. I worked with a pastor named Sam Bush, who mentored me and was just a wonderful pastor to work with. Was there for 10 years as a youth pastor. Then I pastored in Terre Haute, Indiana, for about almost 9 years. And I've been here now in Burksville for almost, it'll be 10 years in October. My wife, Jennifer, and I have been married, it'll be 26 years here in 2 weeks. I've got three grown children, a daughter who is 23, just finishing her master's from UK in library science. My son is 20 years old. He was one of the youngest certified ministers in the nation. Got certified in the Assembly of God as a high school senior by doing school ministry classes. And my youngest is 18. She graduated early from high school last year and is a senior now at a college in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and she'll be heading back up there here in a couple weeks herself. So. That's
kind of
just a little bit about me.
Well, Dana, Brother Dana, you sound a little bit like just a regular old feller.
I think I am. I feel like I am. I've pastored a church of about 80. You know, I've never passed a church larger than 150. Um, and, one thing, I usually the churches that I've been in, I've come when they've been in some pretty serious trauma. I kind of help get them back in shape and bring trust and, you know, help with the numbers and the finances. And I actually work a part-time job at the hospital here in Cumberland County to make ends meet. And my wife works as an aide at an elementary school, and that helps us get our insurance, you know, medical insurance and things. So it's a small town of about 1,400-1,500 people. It's beautiful. We're 12 miles north of the Tennessee line. Near Del Hollow Lake, if anybody out there who fishes or likes hiking, it's a great place for that. It's a beautiful rural area, and since I grew up in a place like this, it's almost like home to me. So I'm a nobody. I'm just a pastor who had a dream, and that's really, I'm still overwhelmed by all that's happened because of it.
Well, brother, I have to tell you, I admire your courage and for sharing that dream. I never had anything like that. I've never had a dream, so to speak, but I've had, as I said, gut feeling. But, you know, it's feelings in my spirit. I've been warned our fellowship for the last several months and November is going to be hell. I didn't know what I was even talking about, really. I just knew the election is going to be hell no matter what. No matter who won, it's going to be hell. But you took it further. I knew that something huge was going to happen. I knew we were going to the verge of civil war. I could see all that. I mean, anyone in common sense can see that. And we see America decaying from the inside out. That's why all great nations always fall from the inside out. Every empire, and we shouldn't be an empire, but we have been, always destroys itself from the inside out. And America is no different. Matter of fact, we're probably one of the worst in history to do what we've done. But now, whenever you, when you had the first dream, did you have any inkling before then that there's something going to happen? Could you sense something in your spirit, or what brought this on?
A lot of people, I think if you ask people, if you ask anyone in America today, if you went out in the streets and asked anybody on the street, you know, how do you think America's doing? I think most people are going to say there's something wrong. There's something not
Amen.
Right. I think most Americans, and especially Christians, believers that are really trying to live it out for the Lord, they understand that there's something just not right. I have several folks in our church that have told me that for years. And even before, and I heard the brace yourself in the first dream back in December. But my congregation would say that I made it very clear that I really sensed that there was some things getting worse coming to a head. I did a series on what's called The Coming Persecution of the Church about a year and a half ago. And so I've been sensitive to those things that are going on, of course, watching the news and things. And so before I had the dream, yeah, I just had a sense that there's some things going on. And I don't know if you just, you know, I would call some of that discernment. Some of that just, you just have a feeling. But other, you can watch the news and know that something's not right. You can just know that something isn't good. And so discernment's part of that. I think discernment's the gift that every believer has got to work in and have in their life in this day and age, because everything is so, there's so much deception and so many different ideas and things out there. So I kind of had a sense that something was going on, but just the dream was totally unexpected.
Well, had you been seeking for more insight, asking the Lord to show you more?
As a pastor, I'm a Pentecostal pastor, so I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And one of the areas that I work in a lot, and you can talk to people in my church and they'll tell you this, and all preachers have been in it, I'm used in the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discernment quite a bit. And that's just where I have some sense or inkling of something going on in my life. I mean, I can pray about something, and I can pray for what they need to know about or hear or answer some questions that they've had while I'm praying. Or just say, hey, brother, sister, I sense that this is going on in your life. Is that right or whatever? And they'll say, you know, most times they'll say, yeah. And so I think just in that sense, I try to stay up on what's happening in politics. I try to stay up on what's happening even in the church world. I don't watch a lot of news. There's a website called worldnewspapers.com. I hit that website every day, and I just look at headlines around the world from both the left and the right. And I find that, you know, we're not the only country in trouble or turmoil. We're not the only country that has wickedness, you know, and some of our elected officials and things like that. But we're not the only country who's really having some serious things. But suddenly, the limelight, the spotlight seems to be on America. And so the dream that I had in December really showed me some things that were going to happen between March and June. And there was, every Tuesday night I pray with a group of guys. And I've been doing that for about almost 8.5 years here. And I had the dream on a Monday night, and that next night, we pray as a group for different things, and then we get in a circle, and I say, okay, Dave, how can I pray for you? Bill, how can I pray for you? And then we pray for each individual person that's there. And when it came time for me to pray, I just said, guys, I had a dream last night, and it really disturbed me. And I'm just unnerved about it. I'm going to tell you about it. And so I just kind of shared the dream I had with them, shared some of the things I'd seen and saw in the dream. And then I said to them clearly, I believe that between the third and sixth month, I think between March and June specifically, that America's in for a really, really, some bad things are coming, are going to hit us. Some hard times are coming. Some difficult things are going to hit us between March and June. And so over the next several months, January came, February came, because that was the same when I had the dream. And then once we got to March, we started seeing headlines, the pandemic, the things that I'd seen in my dream or vision. And some of those guys who came to me and said, Pastor, I remember you saying this. You shared that dream with us, and now we're seeing the sickness and the illnesses and the ventilator issues and COVID. And then, of course, the riots started in Minneapolis. Because of the death of George Floyd, we had buildings being burned, looting was taking place. And so all those things that I was seeing, so almost on a weekly basis, someone would say, Pastor, you told us this was coming, this was going to happen, that I had a dream about that. And that's when it really became more and more real, because of what I was seeing. And knowing that I'd seen headlines about pandemics. And I understand that, the CDC and other World Health Organizations have been talking about a pandemic for, as far as I can look, you go back and look, probably about 20 years. They've been saying a pandemic was coming, we're due for another Spanish flu, that sort of thing. But the way, that came out is during this year or two, 2020, and I just had a sense of March to June for some bad things happening. So that was, I had a sense that something was going to happen. But once again, I'm not a prophet. I'm a pastor who had a dream. And I had no idea that in a week's time, this thing would go to over a million people watching it. I've had people tell me that somebody shared it with them, 15, 20 times. And it's a 15-minute, 9-second video. And who sits down and watches a 15-minute, 9-second video of somebody they've never met or heard of on Facebook? So I'm getting messages from around the world from Facebook Messenger, literally from Pakistan, India. I pray with a pastor from India on Sunday morning. And just people from around the world that have seen the video, one of our missionaries in an Eastern European country said that her superintendent had heard about it and saw this video. And it was, calling to check me out, make sure I was, in good standing with the Assemblies of God. Even our district superintendent here in Kentucky had said they were averaging quite a few phone calls every day and trying to figure out what to do. And my phone has, it has exploded. Phone calls, emails, text messages. I've got a stack of papers and books on my desk that people have sent to me. I want me to read, or stacks of dreams, papers that they've sent. I've got handwritten letters by people in their 80s. And I'm talking 21 or 22-page handwritten letters of people saying, I used to have dreams like that, and I've been still in the same thing. But the biggest, there's been a lot of criticism. There's been plenty of criticism. I've been called a whole lot of things. But the biggest support for me has been when someone calls and says, Brother, Pastor, I really have sensed that something's not right, too, that something big is coming. We've been feeling this. We've been knowing this. And you sharing that dream has given us confidence that we weren't strange or just having some weird feelings, but that it confirms some things. So
you confirmed a lot that I've been sensing for a while. You did that. You truly did. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't like it. I pray that we're both wrong. I really mean that, but I don't think so. I think we're right. I think we're right. Go ahead.
Some of the biggest criticism that I'm hearing is from people who say, nothing like that can happen here. And I think the American church has gotten to the place where we have been blessed, and we send missionaries around the world, but we have gotten to the place where we think that we're exempt from persecution or hard times.
Oh, yes.
In one sense, it's okay if people in Africa are slaughtered or Muslims around the world who become Christians are slaughtered, but that won't happen here. And, you know, Peter said that we share in his suffering. Paul said in the last days, perilous times will come. And even Jesus said, you know, that the many trials and tribulations, you will enter the kingdom of heaven. And so there's been a health and wealth gospel, and God, you know, God's going to bless anything and everything we do. And there's been a lot of compromise in the life of the believer. We've seen a lot of definitions of things change just in the last several years.
Oh, yes.
The definition of marriage change, relationships
change. That's
right. And those things continue to shift and evolve. And so when I see these things are coming, especially persecution for the church, the message is, no, we don't want that. And because we don't want that. That's almost anathema to us as believers. We want to believe that God's going to bless us and keep us. But there are people in prison around the world. There's people being slaughtered around the world. And I know for a fact that the Chinese church, the underground Chinese church, they pray for our country, and they pray that God would allow persecution to come so it would take care of the lukewarmness and some of the compromise within the church. And, boy, that says a lot, you know. That says a whole
Amen.
Lot to me. Because as a pastor, I'm not perfect. Believe me, I've made plenty of mistakes. I've hurt people. I've said things I shouldn't have said. I've counseled and found out that my counsel wasn't good. I've been doing this for 29 years. I'm still learning. But I've also got my own set of scars. You know, there's a lot of people out there that left the church. They got hurt. They got wounded. Every pastor's probably got some scars as well, because sheep bite. And sometimes sheep don't forget. And sometimes
well,
sheep don't
sometimes, Brother Daniel, there are wolves among the sheep, too.
Oh, yeah, obviously. And so we, you know, and I really believe, in all honesty, that God gave me the dream as a warning. And He alone, there is no possible way that dream went as far as it did without the sovereign hand of God being on it. Because I had 1,100 friends on Facebook. I never said, share this. As a matter of fact, you'll see me. I never say, share anything I post. And so for it to go as far as it has, I mean, around the world, millions of people have seen this thing. That is way bigger than me. I put it on Facebook. And I think the warning was to wake the church up. We have so many people who are trying to live however they want to live by their own standards. And the Word of God tells us that we're to be holy because He is holy.
Amen.
And
without holiness, no man shall see God.
Exactly.
You know, I just did a teaching on the lawless church and the lawless one. And that's why I explained Matthew chapter 7, how so many people doing the good works in His name, cast the devil in His name, but Christ said, I never knew you, the workers of lawlessness, iniquity. The church should become a lawless church. They run on feelings and on emotions, not on God's word.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I get wound up here.
You look at Matthew 7, he starts by talking about the narrow gate.
That's right.
You have to bend down and turn sideways to get in. The road to destruction, it's big, it's wide. You can bring all your baggage, all your whatever you want to bring. And he talks about, Lord, we did this, we did that, and he's going to say, I never knew you. But the last part of Matthew 7, he talks about the two foundations. And here's what a lot of people don't want to understand. The house built on the sand obviously fell, but it says the storms came against both. And the house built on the rock probably lost some shingles and may even had a tree limb built through the window. There may have been some water damage, you know, to the top of the house, but because it was built on the rock, it was able to be spared. And some people just want to believe that, you know, the American church is too good for persecution. We're God's not going to let those things happen to us. And I've had people send me messages saying, brother, that message is not of God. It can't be of God because God will never allow His beloved church to be persecuted. And when I say, well, what about Nigeria? Well, this is America. That's different. We're not exempt. We're nowhere near exempt.
No. If anything, we're more accountable. You know that.
Absolutely.
We're more accountable. I mean, it's amazing that the Pharisees, even speaking with Christ, said, well, you know, we're not under slavery here. They were in Rome, under tyranny, but we're not under slavery. We're Abraham's seed. It can't come near us. The church is saying the same thing in America today. I mean, we're haughty, we're stiff-necked, we're stubborn, and it can't come here. We're waiting for the rapture. That's what we're hearing. And now we're going to go to break here in a few minutes. We've got to get into the visions because it's so important. By the way, I'm not a prophecy teacher either, but I do like to study some of it, and I do believe it's a possibility that we may be in Revelation chapter 7 right now, taking peace from the earth and the plagues and all that. It could happen. It could be. I'm not saying it is. It's just my mind. But you've heard of a prophet by the name of Dimitri Dudeman?
Yes, I've heard his name quite in the last several years, and recently his name's been brought up many times.
Well, so. your dream sort of fulfilled some of what he said was going to happen to America, Civil War, and then invasion by Russia. Now, we got about 2 minutes before break, but I want you to go and get started on your first dream. I want you to share from your heart just what you had to share, brother. Don't pull back. Don't hold any punches.
Okay.
Share what the Lord showed you to show the church today.
Back in December, I had a dream, and I saw a calendar. And it was started in January 2020. It was being flipped, like from when you put the month up. I saw January, I saw February, and I saw March. And when March came up, I saw an index finger appear, and it underlined the month of March and tapped it 3 times. And then I saw it flipped to April, May, June. When it got to June, it stopped. And then the finger appeared again, underlined the month of June, and tapped it 3 times. And then it was as if I saw all sorts of things. I saw lines of people going into hospitals. I saw people that were wearing masks. I saw people I saw lots of ventilators and people in respiratory conditions like ICUs, and they were breathing very difficult with difficulty. I saw medical doctors and nurses that were just wiped out, exhausted, blurry-eyed, red-eyed. I saw people who were very, very, very sick, very, very ill. And I saw newspaper headlines trumpeting that thousands of people were getting sick. And I saw, pandemic. I saw the title, the word pandemic strikes U.S., pandemic strikes U.S. I saw ambulances flying down the road. I saw cities on fire. I saw buildings being burned. I saw protesters with masks. I saw people who had their fists in the air. I saw people who were yelling and screaming and just angry at the world. I saw courthouses and state houses that were surrounded. And people just were angry. I saw barriers within cities. And then I woke up, and so I was seeing, sickness, major illness, major sickness. I was seeing major protests. I saw cities. I saw burning buildings, and I saw looting and things like that. And so, to me, I was seeing some things that were coming between March and June. And, of course, they announced about COVID in the first part of January. They were already about masks and not buying masks by the middle of February. By March, we started having, states shut down, schools being closed, everything just being going on lockdown, and ventilators were they were having trouble finding ventilators. A lot of different places were doing, different things.
Hang on through the break here, please.
All right.
Please, Dan, hang on through the break.
I will.
Don't lose that thought. Folks, a lot more coming up and phone calls next half hour, hopefully at 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy.
They are simply the best store foods available for all the right reasons. Go to themanna.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch and get 10% off your merchandise. Again, numanna.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, we'll jump right back in. I don't want to miss a minute of tonight's program. I don't. I really don't. This is too important. By the way, tomorrow night we have Melody Cederstrom with us. This program is brought to you on shortwave tonight, on 6115, because of Melody Cederstrom with Discount Gold and Silver. Now, I'm telling you, if what Brother Dana sees is coming and what I sense my spirit's coming, you better have some preparations. He mentioned gold and silver coins in his presentation. I'm telling you the truth. It's coming to that. You call Melody up at 800-375-4188. 375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And please, folks, get prepared. If you don't have a Berkey water filter, we have them here. Preacher, you're hawking your wares. Yeah, I am, but not for me. It all goes into the ministry, but it's to help you prepare for what's coming. And Wednesday night we had Dr. Judy Mikovits on discussing the corona fraud and what they're doing to the country, actually the whole world. So you don't want to miss that either. Now back to our guest, Pastor Dana Coverstone. And Danny, you were getting into your dream. You got into June and the riots that's really started.
Yeah.
You go from there.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing, the last part of the dream that I had before I woke up was I saw just absolute chaos. And I saw vultures flying over large cities. I saw not just the ones that were burning. I just saw vultures everywhere. I saw smoke. I saw people in fear. I saw people who were terrified, inside their homes, looking out the windows. And it was almost if criminals were at their windows with, you know, guns in their hands. It was just absolute fear. People were scared. And then I heard there was like a white figure that appeared, and it did not have a face. It just looked kind of ethereal. But I heard the words, "Brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself." And I began to tell the people in my church about, you know, what that aspect. And I shared the dream with the church. I shared the dream with the men that I prayed with on Tuesday night. And began to just share. I thought the Lord was that something big was coming. Something big was coming. We need to get ready for it. So since December, I've been hearing those words, brace yourself. Well, January, February came, didn't see much. And I reminded the men of the dream. And then March, bam, COVID hit. Things started shutting down. Churches were shut down. Businesses shut down, the economy shut down. And by the time we got to May, Minneapolis was burning, there was rioting, there was looting, people going all over the place. So there was a whole lot of, you know, chaos going. And I wasn't trying to be justified. I didn't put anything on Facebook about that. I told some men, and I was accountable to them, and they knew about it. And then just a couple weeks ago, it was a Monday night, and I went to sleep, and and I always, you know, I always pray and ask the Lord, show me things in my dreams. I've been doing a series on dreams and visions, going back to about December of last year. So there were, you know, I was teaching on this and encouraging people to pray and ask the Lord for dreams. And then that night, I had the second part. And in the second dream, I basically saw, I saw the calendar. I saw the calendar come up. And I saw it flash through July, August, September. And when it got to September, I saw the finger again come out, the index finger, and underline September, and tapped it three times. And then it flipped to October, and then up came November. And when it got to November, the index finger appeared again.
Now, I'm going to ask a question real quick. I'll ask you, sure. What did it mean in September? What did it point to anything specific to you in September?
No, it just basically for me, since the other dream things had started in March and kind of reached the peak in June, I was thinking this is part two of the dream, and that, you know, something is going to pick up again in September and go through October. And then when it got to November, the finger underlined the month of November one more time. But then instead of tapping three times, the finger became a fist. It just made a fist. And it hit the calendar as hard as it could. And I saw it, the numbers flew off. And to me, it was just that this is something very, very catastrophic, very, very explosive was going to happen. And so the intensity was of that. When I woke up from this dream, my heart rate in front of my Fitbit was like over 180. And it was just terrifying. But the calendar exploded into the wall. The numbers seemed like they were almost like three-dimensional and running off. And there was a cloud of chaos that started in what I was seeing. And I saw armed protesters. I saw fighting in the streets. I saw people just pummeling one another. And I saw businesses that were shuttered, just shut up boards and things like that. I saw schools. I saw schoolrooms with cobwebs, like there'd been nothing in them for a little bit of time. Papers and posters coming off the walls, like no one had been there for months. And then I also saw banks, and I saw the roof, like the roof was just kind of like tilted over. And I saw money just kind of like being sucked up like by a vacuum cleaner. Like I saw wealth being taken, I saw wealth being transferred, but I was watching money take off. And I also saw, I saw monuments. I saw Washington, D.C. burning. I saw Washington, D.C. blazing. I saw fires everywhere. I saw people, in one sense, being not rounded up necessarily, but gathering in groups and things like that. And then I saw Russian and Chinese troops along with some blue helmets, United Nations-type helmets. And I was hearing them say things like, go and secure this quadrant, go and secure that region, go and do this or move here, move there. I saw equipment, military equipment, being moved. I saw
Chinese and Russian, Chinese and Russian or ours? Chinese and Russian or ours?
Chinese and Russian troops, and I saw UN blue helmets. Did not see American troops anywhere. But the other thing I saw was an empty White House. And by that I mean there was nobody in the White House. The Oval Office was closed. The curtains were closed. Fires everywhere outside. It's like a dark, gray, dingy day, grimy day outside. There was no cabinet officials, no secretaries. The White House was almost like it was shut down. I saw a room, and in that room I saw high-ranking senators. I saw no House of Representative members. It was just high-ranking senators, and I saw briefcases stacked on the table. And these guys were I could see out a window from where I was inside. Everything outside was just chaos, confusion, people running, screaming, fires and things. But these men inside this room were just as calm as could be, with every once in a while look at their watches. And then finally, a former senator who had served years ago stood up and opened the briefcase and handed out folders almost, like the clasped envelopes, gave them each of these senators, and they looked at the information and put in their briefcases and shut their briefcases and made some kind of laughed at what was going on around them, but they were very, very calm. Both, shut their briefcases, shook hands, and then walked out very calmly into all the chaos that was going on. There's a lot of violence. I saw, crazy things going on.
Well, I don't mean to keep interrupting. What do you think that meant, but the senators walking out very calmly? What do you think that meant?
I'm being real cautious not to say a whole lot because everybody's reading something into it. The briefcases are something that people don't use briefcases anymore. And that's a 70s and 80s thing. I graduated college in 1991, and briefcases were kind of a thing of the past. But it makes me wonder if there's plans, things set in motion by leadership in Washington that we're not aware of. And another thing is, no matter who is elected in November, President Trump is still the president until January when the inauguration happens. And I've had folks tell me, well, maybe the president's in the bunker, or maybe, because everybody wants to kind of pick that piece apart. And that part of the dream stands out to me. And probably because, yes, there is so much emphasis on the election and getting people out to vote, and also some of the ideas of, you know, mail-in ballots and things like that. But after I saw that, I saw people hiding in their homes. I saw churches. I saw buildings and homes being burned. And the vultures turned in like gargoyles. And instead of being high soaring above the city, they were now about 10 feet off the ground, 10 to 15 feet off the ground, were attacking people. And I just saw absolute chaos. And then that white figure appears again to me and says, brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself, but endure till the end. And at that point, I woke up. And when I woke up, I was covered in sweat. My heart was racing. I got up and paced and prayed. I've got 2 minutes of schnauzer. I took them outside and paced and prayed in my house. And, I mean, this was just heavy, heavy on my heart. So I made audio notes on my phone. I typed up just a note from notes on my iPhone and make sure I had it. I didn't want to forget it. Well, when I got the I went back to bed, slept for a couple hours, got up again. The next day was my daughter's birthday. And when I woke up, it was still so fresh and so clear to me. So I just wrote some little things down. And I thought about making a video, putting it on Facebook with the first two dreams, and felt like I needed to wait. I don't know, polish it up a little bit, or just make it more clear of what I'd seen. And that night, I had the dream about the coins. And the week before, we had had our church is going to be sending a team to Ecuador a couple weeks ago because of COVID, got canceled. So we had a yard sale or selling some things to support a team going next year. And so I'd gone to the bank on Saturday before to get $10 in quarters for a yard sale. So I had been to the bank, and the president of the bank was the one who was the teller that day, and she swayed on me. Well, in the dream, I had a dream that I walked to that same bank, walked to the door, and on the door there was a sign that said we are currently experiencing a coin shortage, a lack of coins. And so I didn't catch much up, went inside, saw the teller, and said, hey, I need to get $10 in quarters. And she said basically this. We don't have any coins right now. There's a coin shortage, and the mint's not going to be printing them or minting them or making them, and the Federal Reserve got some involvement. So expect hyperinflation. Oh, by the way, ones and fives will go the same way here pretty soon. And I woke up. And I thought, okay, this has to be a piece of all the things that I'm seeing. So Wednesday morning, I put that on. I made the video, 15-minute, 9-second video, put it on Facebook, and left it there. Come Friday, I've got people from all over America sending me pictures of signs that are going up from a McDonald's drive-thru in Miami. I also, just businesses. I had a Walmart manager and a Target manager from back in Indiana who I know who said, hey, we got some emails from our corporate offices about a coin shortage that's going on. You know, I posted that on Wednesday, and those things didn't start happening until a couple of days later. My daughter, who also works at that same bank, had been doing something for her master's at the school, some requirements she had to finish her classwork and graduate. So she went to the bank. She didn't work at the bank Wednesday. When she came home Thursday, she said, Dad, you won't believe it, but they had a bank teller meeting yesterday afternoon, and in the bank teller's meeting, they said there's a coin shortage, and they're going to start watching how they do coins and would be supplying coins to another bank in town. And so that was one, you know, right there thing that definitely was already going on.
Yes,
I posted it on Wednesday. And I had folks say, well, you must have been looking at, you know, coin shortage and things like that. Anyone can check my history. That wouldn't have even been on my radar. But nonetheless, I sent it in video form on Wednesday because the dream was Tuesday night, the 23rd. And by Friday, the signs were going up. You know, and nobody from government called me and said, hey, just so you know, we're putting signs up all over the country about a coin shortage. And so I think that probably got people's attention even more than the first two dreams.
Well, in what I see, and if you see it differently, please tell me, that this is going to come mostly to a head in November. A lot of these things are going to happen starting in November, big time. I know your dream verified that, but I think this is going to start in November. I don't know how long it's going to last, but if what you've seen is true, America, as we know it, is over. It's finished. I mean, we're not talking about years, we're talking about months. If it's what you saw true, and what I've sensed to the point made me sick is true, then we got a few months left, 4 months or so, before it's all over for this country. Now, I pray, people, that I'm wrong, and I hope Dana's dream was just a dream. But I don't think it was.
Absolutely.
I truly don't. I don't think it is. Now, I do want to take a quick phone call. We're going to take a phone call. I'm going to give each phone call about 1 minute, so hurry through, okay? Let's go to Jerry in Ohio. Jerry, come on in. Got about 1 minute. Go ahead.
Hey, Pastor Butch, God bless both of you guys. And
thank
hey,
you.
God gives his people dreams and visions.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And real quickly, I just want to share some quick dreams I had. I had one dream that the streets was empty. There was huge warehouses. They were converted. People was being led into these warehouses, and nobody was coming out. I went behind this one warehouse and looked, and I seen people being led out in lines, and they had like dog muzzles on their faces, and they were being put in buses. Another dream I had, people was behind 14-foot fences. People was trying to climb out of them. They couldn't. Another part of a dream I had, people was being put in pits, and bulldozers was burying people in huge pits. Towns were black. There was only lights of candles and lanterns in windows. And that's some of the dreams I've had. I believe what this guy's dreaming. I believe in them. And God has been giving me some dreams. And just like he said, he wakes up, his heart's beating like crazy, sweating. And the same way with my dreams. And I've been telling people my dreams for a while now. And I had two dreams of Alaska, that there was missiles up there. And these missiles was going to be launched down at the United States.
Wow. Well, time will certainly tell. Thanks for that, Jerry. I hate to jump, but I'm trying to get all this. We can't end with Pastor Dana. But thanks for the call. And, brother, we're running out of time so quickly. Would you mind, I know it's hard doing 2 or 3 minutes, but try if you can. Your second dream about who is going to come after the pastor. Now, again, this is what you're scaring me, man. You're scaring me. I've been saying this for a long time, that our enemies are going to be of the church, what calls itself the church.
Yeah.
People don't understand this, but the church of the day is what crucified our Savior, the so-called religious people. They're the one that killed our Savior. So the church, what we call the church today, are going to be yours and mine, other pastors' biggest enemies. We'll be turned in by our own people, so to speak. But go ahead, share that very quickly.
I believe, the dream that I saw was wolves being released. They were being stirred up. They were going into churches. And I saw a lot of pastors just preaching their hearts out. I saw sweat pouring off of them. And I saw like steam over their head. In other words, they were preaching the gospel with intensity and passion and fervor. And there were people in the church that were just sleeping and looking at their cell phones and checking their watches, and if people wear watches anymore, but you know, checking to see what was going on. They weren't paying attention to the Lord. There was a core group of people at the front who were praying hard. But pretty soon the wolves came in, and when they left the field, they had red eyes. And these wolves came in, and the people in the front began to pray, and the preacher just kept preaching the truth. And the wolves came up and sat down by the people in the pews or the chairs who weren't listening or paying attention. I was seeing screens with other pastors and other places, people that I knew, faces I know, people that I love and care about in ministry. And they were just preaching hard and preaching the gospel. And pretty soon, the wolves began to bristle up, and they began to nudge against the people they were beside. And as they were getting irritated, they were irritating the people, and they were stirring the people up. And pretty soon the people began to yell, shut up, stop that, stop saying that, that's not true, don't say that, those kind of things. And the preacher just kept preaching. And then pretty soon the wolves began to come up around the pastors and the preachers who were preaching and began to nip at them and bark at them and growl at them. And even some were attacking and trying to, you know, drag them to the ground. And everybody just kept preaching and preaching and preaching. But I saw pastors who were overcome and overwhelmed by those wolves. They didn't bother the people who were praying, but they bothered, they irritated the people who had compromised their faith, compromised their walk with the Lord. And they were stirring people up. And so, we have colleges today that don't educate, they indoctrinate. We have people who think you can get away with and do anything as a Christian. And the Bible says there's a standard. He said, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, pick up a cross, and follow me. And so if anything, I believe the message that God gave me in these dreams was to warn the church to wake up and to encourage pastors to stop. Don't just preach the easy things. Preach the hard things. Yes, it's going to cause offense and make people mad. But we got to preach. We got to preach. The, you know, we're supposed to be in season, out of season. We're supposed to preach the gospel that's going to change and transform lives. We're supposed to. You know, we're supposed to see people delivered. We're supposed to see people healed. We're supposed to see the, you know, the dead raised. And that's the gospel that we need to be preaching. And we need to preach that there are some things that are sin. There's no doubt about it. There's some choices, some lifestyles, some things. We still love people, but you know, everybody wants to be offended. And so I believe preachers are about to see a great crowd of offended members and people. And I believe we're going to see people who've been raised in the church all their lives, and yet who never really had those solid commitments to the Lord, or maybe they did at one time. They just kind of drifted away and they're not as strong anymore. But they're going to be angry and irritated by us preaching the truth. And so there's a great risk, you know, a great risk to those up in some ministry. But if I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. I'm not going to settle down or be quiet. I'm going to continue to call things sin. I've had people leave the church because I've done a series on certain types of sins or things like that. And I'm going to love people. I'm going to do my best to love people and counsel people, but I have to preach what the Word says.
Amen.
And I can't.
You have no choice.
I'll stand before God someday and give an account for what I said and for what I preached and for what I stated. And I will give an account every idle word. And I want to be able to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear, you know. So,
well, that's the last chapter of Hebrews. Last chapter of Hebrews said, "You and I are accountable for the souls we teach." And that scares me trying to do what's right. I'm going to tell you now, that bothers me. It does. It keeps me trying to do what's right and stay true. But, you know, I did a teach this past weekend in Bible study, and I said, I want to tell you all something. You may not understand this right now, but you need to study into it. Christ told Peter, "Whenever thou art converted, tell your friends about me." But anyway, Peter knew Christ. He believed in Christ. He knew he was the Messiah. He said so himself. But he hadn't been changed yet. He hadn't been converted. Now, those walking around who say they believe in Christ, who never experienced a born-again experience, and they have not become a new creature in Christ, Brother Dana, have never been converted. So they can say they believe. Satan believes and trembles, but he's still not converted. That's right. So the people believe in Christ and they think that's all there is to it. No. There must be a born-again experience and a conversion. A conversion. You must be changed from what you were and come back to what you need to be. And what we're seeing today in the churches today is a compromised gospel. I call it the accommodating gospel. You don't want to offend anybody. But we're sending people to hell with that gospel, that so-called gospel. They're going to hell thinking they're okay, and the blood's on our hands.
Yes. And we're the watchmen on the wall. We have to say when we see the enemy is coming, you know, and the enemy's not just at the gate anymore. They're in the building.
They're in the city.
They're watching. Yeah. And so we've got, you know, I believe the Lord gave me those dreams. No way possible that could I have even come up with making this happen like it's happened. Is there no way?
All I can tell you is, you confirmed what I've been sensing so strongly. Again, I woke up at 3:30, sitting on went out in the front porch, and it's still dark, of course. Had a cup of coffee, and I just started weeping because, Brother Dana, it's the church's fault this is happening. Christ told us to be salt and light. We've been cast out and trying to the foot of men as the so-called church today. We haven't occupied till we come. The church has done very little to change the world for Christ, and America has been damned because the church become godless, worldly, lawless, and the world has followed the church right into the pits of hell. So, as I said, we can't blame the state house, the courthouse, or the White House. We blame the church house and the pulpits in those church houses that refuse to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. Holiness is not an option, my friends. Holiness is mandatory if you want to see God. I didn't say you're perfect, but your heart's right. Go ahead, brother. I'm going to start preaching. Go ahead.
One of the things I'm thankful for, in the dream that I had, there were pastors who were preaching, and they were paying a great price for it. And they were dealing with, they weren't afraid of the consequences. They just simply preached the gospel, just like Stephen did in Acts chapter 6. And so that's where we are. I believe that, you know, we're supposed to work all's light. It's still light. is still light. So the church has a grand an opportunity to do something powerful and magnificent for the kingdom of God. We have not been silenced. We have not been shut down. We've not been imprisoned or anything else. And there will very well be some martyrs in this country, I believe. But nonetheless,
amen. I do too.
We've got
yes.
an opportunity. And so we need to work while it's still light and share the gospel with everybody we can. And then it's on them. Once they know, once they see, and once they hear, it's on them. But we've got a responsibility to preach it, teach it, and live by example. So
amen.
I'm thankful that we have the opportunity before us that we can do that.
Well, I'll say this, Roberto, on time so quickly. Man, it's been a fast hour. If your dream is true and what I've been saying for several months is true, we only have about 4 months left to really get out there and work for Christ, because darkness is coming when no man can work, brother. If this nation goes into what you say it's going to, and Demetri Dumas prophecies, he said, we'll go to civil war and be invaded by Russia and China. What you saw is what he prophesied. If that's coming only 4 months away, folks, time is growing very, very, very short to tell your family about Jesus Christ and being born again. Not saved necessarily. Saved's a good word perhaps in some areas. But without Christ said you must be born again. That wasn't a suggestion. If they're not a born again new creature in Christ, they're not his. So you're running out of time, and prepare yourself and your family physically, spiritually, and mentally for what's coming. You're running out of time. Dana, we're down about the last minute and a half or so. What do you want to say in closing?
I encourage everybody who's listening to get their lives and their hearts right with the Lord. I encourage them to, and not all just prepare for themselves. I want to be talking to my church, but what can we do as a church to, you know, not stockpile food, but we're going to have some of our members who might need some help as things are coming. And so if all you're doing is preparing for your family, you know, you got to think beyond that. And everybody's preparation is going to look different. I had a lady who called. She said, I've got 3 small special needs kids. And so prepping or preparing for my family is a lot different than what we do for somebody else. And so people need to pray specifically to God, show us what to do, and then act upon that. And when I talked about guns and ammo, it wasn't just for protection, but, deer. There's a lot of deer hunters in our area, and there's animals that you can eat. And if it gets so bad, we've already got 17 processing plants that are closed down. We're starting to see lunch meat and things like that from processing plants that are running out, you know. So people need to start thinking about food and water and protection and what it looks like for you different than what it looks like for me. I've got 3 adult kids, so that we can help with that in a different way.
Amen. Brother, we're flat out of time. God bless you, my friend. I'll be in touch in the near future again, but thank you for what you shared. Thank you and the courage to share your dream. And if you have anything else I need to know, you feel free to call me, okay?
Well, thank you for letting me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, God bless, my friend. Bye-bye, folks. We will see you tomorrow night. Melody Seastrom, a lot to talk about. Don't y'all go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the 2 significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.